let's look in and see if, because this is noted inside the article. Let's see how it was portrayed by, how about, all right, let's see if this is going to work. Anyway, when last we checked, we were talking about, oddly enough, because all kinds of things happen on this program, we were talking about shrimp. Yes. So let's get back to that. Anyway, you may recall I've already mentioned the fact that Forbes had a hissy over, and the federal government's given $3 million to some scientists to put shrimp on a treadmill. I don't know. And, of course, because I guess they're a credulous lot, AARP decided to pick up the ball and run with it, too. Yeah?
Things like...
Here we go.
If Congress really wants to balance the budget,
they could stop spending our money on things like a cotton institute in Brazil.
Poetry at zoos?
Treadmills for shrimp.
But instead of cutting waste...
Or closing tax loopholes...
Next month, Congress could make a deal that cuts Medicare, even Social Security.
I guess it's easier to cut the benefits we earned than to cut pickle technology.
Well, gosh, oh golly gee, that certainly does seem like the government's just throwing away... Where's my pickle technology? Of course, I happen to be one of those weirdos who think that what was one of the things they picked on the AARP did? And, you know, I qualify for AARP membership now, and I don't think I'm ever going to join because they sound like a bunch of cranky old goomers. They picked on the idea of having poetry at zoos. Well, God knows. I mean, you know, if you got poetry at zoos, that means Granny must be out in the streets starving. Of course, poetry at zoos has nothing to do with the fact that the Republican Party is completely out of control, but the AARP doesn't want to say anything about the Republicans because then they probably got some on the payroll, right? And, of course, there was never any connection between a study of shrimp on a treadmill, even if it did cost $3 million, which it didn't, and, say, Medicare or Social Security benefits. So we've got Forbes. We've got the AARP. And then if you really, really, really wanted to be absolutely rock solid certain that this was just a made up bunch of hooey, well, look no further than Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And of course, Mike Huckstervey, right? Curiously, I might note that the ad for Mike that runs in front of the Mike Huckstervey clip, well, it has scantily clad women. You know, because Mike Huckstervey is a Christian. Anyway, here we go.
Well, you know what? I never thought I'd be mad about shrimp, but I am. It's because even though our country is broke and is trying to borrow even more than the $14 trillion that we already owe, some genius in Congress appropriated and spent your money and my money on shrimp. I'm not talking about fried shrimp, boiled shrimp, shrimp scampi,
But he is doing his best Forrest Gump impression, save for the fact that Forrest Gump is a brighter intellect than Mike Huckstervey by a long shot. Notice how he says, some guy in Congress, somebody in Congress. You'd think something like $3 million would have a name attached to it, wouldn't you?
Barbecued shrimp, grilled shrimp, or shrimp and grits. Nope. Congress spent money to study how shrimp could function on a treadmill. Not a little bit of money. By your standards, are mine. No. $503,000 to watch shrimp on a treadmill.
Okay, in Mike's world, it's $503,000, according to the AARP and Forbes, $3 million.
You know what? I don't care what shrimps do on a treadmill.
That's because you're an idiot, Mike Huckstervey.
I don't want my shrimp going to the gym. I want them going to the grill or the oven and then to the table.
Of course, you understand, Mike, that within the laws that are propounded in that book that you say is the literal word of God, you should be taken outside the city gates and stoned until dead for eating said shrimp off of the grill or the etouffee or the shrimp and grits.
I don't want them getting skinny so they can outrun me. I want them to get fat.
Like you? I mean, no, I'm not fat shaming, but honest to God, Mike, you don't want the shrimp to get skinny so they can outrun you? What? Okay, that makes sense. Back there behind your ears, those are really gills, aren't they? You're from, like, the fundamentalist theocratic people of the Marianas Trench, maybe. I don't know.
So they can nourish me. You know, it's not the only stupid thing that my tax dollar pays for, but it may be one of the most outrageous.
Now, outrageous! Outrageous! Shrimp on treadmills.
If there is any half-brained idiot in America who really believes that spending $500,000 to put a shrimp on a treadmill is a great idea, then let him spend his own money, but not mine. I don't mind using my tax dollars to pay for a soldier's equipment or a veteran's medical care. I don't mind using it...
Or charging soldiers maybe $50 for a plate of shrimp via Halliburton. You're okay with that, right, Mike?
To make sure that we take care of elderly persons who need medicine or pay for someone's Medicare and who's paid in all these years and expected to be there. Heck, I don't even mind using it to stop crime or even to figure out...
I mean, not even to stop crime. Well, that's mighty damn liberal of you, Mike.
Who sent that photo of Mr. Wiener in his underwear or whoever it was? But I mind it a lot to spend it on shrimp doing a treadmill. You know, the only thing with less brains than the shrimp
is you.
Is a member of Congress who thought it was worth spending $500,000 of our tax money to put a shrimp on a treadmill.
See, and herein lies the problem. People like Fox, like Forbes, like the AARP, merely get some sort of right-wing press release and go, well, you know, I mean, it came over the fax this morning. False stuff never comes over the fax machine. I mean, look at the way we was able to help that Nigerian widder woman. Well, only the problem is, it's all right wing BS. David Shulnick writes at the Chronicle of Higher Education, a video clip of a shrimp running on a treadmill has somehow become the nation's poster child for wasteful spending and grounds for the Republican-led House of Representatives Science Committee to recently investigate wasteful spending of National Science Foundation-funded research projects across the country. He continues, my name is David, and I am the marine biologist who put a shrimp on a treadmill, a burden I will forever carry. To be clear, the treadmill did not cost millions of taxpayer dollars. The goal of the research was not to exercise shrimp, and the government did not pay me or anyone else to work out shrimp on treadmills. Simply put, my colleagues and I were studying how recent changes in the oceans could potentially affect the ability of marine organisms to fight infections. Fighting infections. Yeah, who'd want to do... Yeah, well, because, see, we can just lay the healing hands of faith on shrimp and human alike, and all will be well, because the great big imaginary bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky doesn't want his little subjects, his little creatures, be they little humans or little shrimp or little sea monkeys, to ever be unhappy. Simply put, my colleagues and I were studying how recent changes in the oceans could potentially affect the ability of marine organisms to fight infections. An important question, given that the amount of bacteria a shrimp is able to remove from its body, is directly related to how much bacteria could potentially end up on seafood-filled plates like yours, Mike Huckabee! See, I mean, they're really, you know, shrimp are bottom feeders. And that may be why you're not allowed to have them in certain faith traditions. They eat, you know, garbage, which is another way of saying, I mean, you know, certain things don't float in the ocean, it sinks to the bottom. You've heard the old You've heard the old saying, I feel lower than whale on the bottom of the ocean, right? And since shrimp are active animals in nature, it was logical to study the immune response of shrimp during activity. Now we get to the gravamen of the account. Exactly how much taxpayer money did go into the now famous shrimp treadmill? The treadmill was in fact made from spare parts. An old truck inner tube was used for the tread. The bearings were borrowed from a skateboard, and a used pump motor was salvaged to power the treadmill. Really, a used pump motor. I wonder if it had ever been attached to a bong with stirrups, but never mind, we won't go there. The total price for the highly publicized icon of wasteful government research spending? Anybody? Bueller? Less than $50. All of which, Mr. Sholnick notes, I paid for out of my own pocket. In science, it is often necessary to develop creative solutions to complex problems. How do you get active marine animals to move naturally in a laboratory setting? How do marine animals fight off the glut of pathogens they are exposed to in the harsh environments where they live? These are not simple questions. There are no easy word, pilfered. In none of those ads was a credit offered for where the video came from. Well, that costs part of the $3 million to produce. Anybody in America should be able to just put that anywhere I want to. It is disingenuous for the Republican-controlled House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Disingenuous. That's one of them fancy, sciencey, scientific, scientist words for they're a bunch of filthy liars. It is disingenuous for the Republican-controlled House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology to promote the idea that scientists are wasting millions of taxpayer dollars to run shrimp on treadmills based on a 30-second video clip. Given that every teaspoon of seawater can contain millions of bacteria, it does not take a mental giant, and God knows the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology doesn't have any in its majority, to understand that the health of marine organisms and the safety of seafood we eat are closely related. It may not take a mental giant, Dr. Sholnick, but it takes something more than the brain that inhabits a member of the class named, that we refer to generally around here as the Bugarati. It does. It really does. Because, see, I can remember, and this is just my own experience, I remember when some real, live, honest-to-goodness scientists put out some research about the diminution and elimination of the mayfly population downstream from mountaintop removal operations. And there's a time of year, and it happens around here. You can see it. When the mayflies hatch and they're like a fog, and every windshield is splattered, they're all over all the windows. I mean, they're laying on the ground, they're just everywhere. The coal industry responded to the study by saying, "See, them tree huggers, they care more about a bug than they do about our jobs." That's JAWWWBBBBBBBZZZZZ. Jobs! Never realizing for an instant. Never realizing for an instant that, they're talking about their own demise. Because if little mayflies can't live downstream from mountaintop removal, then, well, by God, it's a pretty good guess that little humans won't be living downstream from it either. But that's what you get. Look at them scientists studying bugs. Who needs to study bugs? Them dang scientists out there was studying and they was using our money to do it, was a study in shrimp on treadmills. Yes. Given that every teaspoon of seawater can contain millions of bacteria, it does not take a mental giant to understand that the health of marine organisms and the safety of the seafood we eat are closely related. The health of the organisms that inhabit the largest ecosystem on the planet, namely the oceans, and the potential bacterial contamination of the food we eat are serious and important questions. I, like many of my colleagues, are deeply concerned by the minimization and politicization of our work. You may be concerned, but oh well. That's what Repiglicans do. In an effort to put an end to the erroneous media reports of wasteful government-sponsored shrimp treadmill research, Mr. Sholnick concludes, I'm willing to put my infamous treadmill up for sale. All profits will go toward supporting marine biology research so that grandmothers across the country will no longer be denied medication. Our heroic soldiers fighting abroad might be able to get the military equipment they need, and the House Science Committee can rest easy knowing they can once again eat fat, juicy shrimp free of bacteria, without using up government funds. For the bargain price of $1 million, shrimp not included, that's 67% off the price listed by Forbes.com, a lucky individual, perhaps Representative Lamar Smith, the Texas Republican and chairman of the House Science Committee, can literally put their money and their shrimp where their mouth is. David Sholnick is professor of marine biology at Pacific University in Forest Grove, Oregon. I saw this story last night, and I thought it was perfect for Titanic Tuesday, because it gives us a little peek into the weird, weird, twisted, strange, odd, bizarre world of Republican money worries. Funny how something as simple as trying to get a stream out can sort of booger up one's train of thought. I'm going to take a moment and pause the recording, so you won't hardly notice it. It'll be like space travel or something in Plan Yawn from Outer Space, otherwise known as Interstellar. I'll take a moment and see if I can sort out what's going on here. Stand by, please. Well, glory hallelujah, maybe we are, yes, maybe we're broadcasting now. Yes. Okay. Well, that only screws with my head a little bit. A true professional would never say that. No, a true professional would start screaming epithets and storm out of the studio and yada yada. Yeah, right. So, for many of you, you will have to download the archive in order, or listen, yeah, to the rerun stream to hear the shrimp story, but I'm not doing the shrimp story twice, just because. But suffice to say that there's the right-wing hissy about a $3 million government money giveaway to study shrimp on treadmills is, well, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Absolute and utter, you know, lies. Okay. Well, they weren't tasty shrimp in the first place. They were probably more like, you know, sea monkeys. So don't worry about it. It is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday, and there I was, filibobstering along for an hour and 2 minutes or so. But anyway, because we got more stuff. Let me note now that having blown through the filibobster, we can talk about whatever it is that's on your mind, which may be far more interesting than $3 million shrimp, which is what came to mind when I saw the shrimp, the video of the shrimp on the treadmill running in its little saltwater environment. I could hear the background. I could hear the intro music for the $6 million man. Da-da-da-da, right? And Lee Majors is running on the treadmill, and yeah. But we're not going to, no. So let's suffice to say then that the lines are open. Area code 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N, is the gizmo line. With a reminder, because I'm still trying to figure out how to turn the damn call waiting off on it, if I say, hey, let's go to the gizmo line, that means somebody's going to be on the gizmo line, so please don't call the gizmo line or you will create all the beep, 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 courtesy. That's the gizmo line, 304-663-4676, 663-HORN, H-O-R-N. The other line is 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And then there's just Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid, Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, H-O-R-N, is the contact address if you want to reach out and engage in some conversations via Skype. Okie doke. Are we clear on all that? Good deal. So any of that can happen any way you want it to. And we, in the meantime, will move on. Because there's plenty of stuff, unfortunately, for this Titanic Tuesday. There's plenty of stuff to move on to. A little update on hashtag OpKKK. It turns out that Anonymous is coming through big time with its promise. It has been DDoSing Klan hate sites, persisting in its Hoods Off campaign, and has now published a list of people who are Klansmen who might live in your community. So you might want to look that up. Never know. You gotta wonder if there's any really fun names on there, like, oh, you know, Republican politicians and whatnot. Now, last night, as is my habit, after the program is over, I like to check Facebook and see who's saying what, and I wandered over to Carol's post, because there's always a lot of fun to be had over there. And it was while perusing, I ran across something that she had posted that just, it had "Oh my God" written all over it. A story coming from an outfit that tries to be taken very, very seriously. The Tampa Bay Times in Florida runs an outfit called, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it, PolitiFact. And they bill it as winner of the Pulitzer Prize, because they are notorious sticklers for the facts, as they understand the facts should be understood. And so it was with some surprise that I noted that PolitiFact devoted some of its precious pixels or columnar inches or whatever to trying to figure out if there really, really, no kidding, is such a thing as the Obama car. No, really. The Obama car. Recently, the White House announced a plan to offer free vehicles to welfare recipients. According to reports, the bill passed in a narrow vote. The program was initiated by President Barack Obama and in many ways mirrors what has become known as the Obama phone. Really? Who in their right mind read that and said, oh, this has got to be real? Sure, this is true. No doubt. No, this is absolutely true. The screenshot that was grabbed by PolitiFact, it comes from American News, and features ads for the Dodge Dart lease program of $149 a month for 39 months. Or you can get a Chrysler 200 Limited in a 2015 model, sign and drive, $249 a month for 39 months. The Obama car. Right. But since this is Titanic Tuesday, we kind of pick things apart. The article by PolitiFact begins with, does the welfare queen, and they put welfare queen in scare quotes, now have a new car and a gas card to go along with her trusty Obama phone? A recent claim circulating on the internet says she does. Really, PolitiFact? You gotta drag out Ronald Wilson Reagan. You know, that all amounts to 666. Don't tell the folks over there to the Dairy Queen. Never mind. Welfare queen. PolitiFact actually used the phrase welfare queen. Dicks. A reader recently sent us a November American News article that says welfare recipients will be eligible for... You know, it was a lot more fun when I used to read Dave Barry, and a reader would send him news about the riding lawnmower races in Iowa. But no, an American News article that says welfare recipients will be eligible for a free vehicle and receive a monthly $100 gas card beginning January 15th under new legislation proposed by President Barack Obama. The article said, recently, the White House announced a plan to offer free vehicles to welfare recipients. According to reports, the bill passed in a narrow vote. The program was initiated by President Barack Obama and in many ways mirrors what has become known as the Obama phone, or the program through which welfare recipients can get free cell phone service. John Earnest announced the program launch, stating, the free automobile program gives low-income Americans the opportunity to take ownership of a vehicle at no cost and will also include a monthly gas card for $100. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters that this passing will be the downfall of President Obama. This absurd plan that the Democrats have conjured up is beyond belief. I have no idea. Wait a minute. We're talking about Mitch McConnell here. This absurd plan that the Democrats have conjured up is beyond belief. I have no idea how or why Congress passed this, McConnell stated. PolitiFact, after they got done using the odious phrase welfare queen, the freighted racist, noted that the American News story had gotten 80,000 Facebook likes as of November 17th. And then, in what must surely be the understatement of the entire history of PolitiFact, they note, here's the deal. It's not accurate. Hey, PolitiFact, once you're done using phrases like welfare queen, you might consider un-Orwellianizing your language. It's not accurate. Not accurate is when you say that the Obama car program will give everyone a Rolls Royce, but it turns out they're getting Pontiacs. That's not accurate. This is just straight up a lie. And, of course, American News picked it up from, they did do their drilling down, and it came from an outfit called Empire News, which tells everybody that, hey, this is a parody and satire site. Apparently those things are big these days with people just making up BS and not even trying to be funny about it. The Current, the Daily Current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, Empire News, a few others, all trying to be the Onion and never succeeding. So at the end, our ruling. This post on social media claims that welfare recipients, thanks to Obama, will be eligible for a free vehicle and monthly gas cards, but it was ripped straight from a fake news site. We rate this claim pants on fire. No, really? Well, I'll be dipped. I mean, I've been had on a couple of bogus stories. Oh, okay. Thank you, Devin. In the future, Devin says I am to mumble more because my voice is too high for Mitch Turtleman McConnell. Thank you. I appreciate the constructive criticism. Yep, $100 gas card and an Obama car, which may or may not be a Dodge Dart. And as Carol Baker pointed out, you can choose whatever color you want for your Obama car as long as it's black. Yeah. Gee, I wonder if PolitiFact was also, I mean, because things, there are, you know, there are limitations to what, to the resources that any given, I know, Devin pointing out Pontiacs are no longer made. That's precisely why I used the name Pontiac. Because you're not going to get an Obama car, because there are no Obama cars. Anyway, the capacity is limited in any organization. How about PolitiFact? Anybody want to take a look and see if PolitiFact has checked into whether or not we're all going to get free frisbees and wheat checks and be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew if only we can build the Keystone XL pipeline? Because there is some Keystone XL pipeline news. While I was talking about shrimp, the Senate was talking about Keystone XL pipeline. The headline over at Chicken Noodle News is, says, Keystone XL pipeline bill dies in the Senate, -. For now. The Senate blocked a measure Tuesday that would have authorized construction of the Keystone XL pipeline as Democrats chose their pro-environment base over an old friend, embattled Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu. Really? This is what passes for being a writer at Chicken Noodle News now? And if the Democratic Party has a pro-environment base, and they just chose it, I'd personally kind of like to know why it is that the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act has not already been introduced in the Senate of the United States. I mean, I'm sure that would make the pro-environment base happy, too. Eric Bradner is the author of this piece of bilge. They chose their pro-environment base over an old friend, embattled Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu. Goodbye, Mary. We hardly knew ye. Because she's embattled. She's embattled, of course, because she's a mugwump, middle-of-the-road Democrat who votes like a Republican most of the time. And her only friends are people like Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp. Meanwhile, after the vote, Senate Majority Leader my father-in-law's rich. He's got a ship full of cocaine. You want a line? McConnell said, "This will be an early item on the agenda in the next Congress." Am I mumbling better, Devin? "This will be an early item on the agenda in the next Congress." But it's a sharp blow, says Eric Bradner, to Landrieu, who had based much of her campaign for re-election in a December runoff on the argument that she could deliver results. I'm just checking here. Is it me? Or does the Keystone XL pipeline not even go through Louisiana, Stan? No, it's not just me. The Keystone XL pipeline doesn't go through Louisiana, Stan. But Mary Landrieu is a fake Republican. Well, no, she's a fake Democrat. She's a real Republican who will do anything to try to make the knuckle walkers think they should send her back to the Senate. Yeah, see, Devin, I agree. Take it easy, Bob. They don't like the green base that much. They don't like us at all. Who are you kidding? There are a few progressive Democratic senators who would like to do something about, climate change. But not that many. And the base of the Democratic Party, but see, the reason you say their environmental base is that you can then blame them getting whipped on, America don't like tree huggers. See how it works? For days, Mary Landrieu had insisted she had the 60 supporters necessary to cross a key procedural threshold, only to fall one vote shy on Tuesday night. So that means that there were 41 senators who didn't buy the great big raft of honking silly lies that have been promulgated. Oh, everybody in America is going to have a job on the Keystone XL pipeline. Oh, there's going to be 400 jobs. No, 4,000, 40,000, 40,000. I got 40,000 going at once. Is there going to be 400,000? Oh, I got 400,000. Can I have 4 million? Can I hear 4 million? Yep. Yeah, the oil executive in the back. I got $4 million, 4 million going once, 4 million going twice. Is there going to be 40 million Keystone XL pipeline jobs? Yes, indeed. The Koch brother, David Koch in the middle of the room says there's going to be 40 million Keystone XL pipeline jobs. Only there won't. I think the latest current estimate is that there might be 50 permanent jobs coming out of the Keystone XL pipeline. Wow. Mary Landrieu said, "This is for Americans, for American jobs, to build an American middle class, and it'll create 40,000 immediate jobs. If the people of this Congress haven't noticed, there's a long unemployment line in some parts of this country." I wonder if she wore her gown made of curtains from Tara for this one. It's going to be 40,000 jobs, permanent jobs, that's going to rebuild the middle class. Hey, Mary, who took apart the middle class? Well, I'd tell you, but that would mean me saying the word Republican, and so many of them are my dear friends, and they come along with me, and they voted on this. And Joe Manchin, he might as well be a Republican, and I don't want to insult him neither. And Heidi Heitkamp, Well, that woman goes to Republican bean dinners up there in North Dakota all the time. Anybody want to do a... Carol in the chat room, is it me or does Mary Landrieu sound a lot like Lindsey Graham? Yes, they do. If you stand them both behind a curtain, you can't tell which one's which. It's only when you hear the big thud that you know which side was Lindsey, because Lindsey faints faster. Although I'm sure Lindsey was right there voting right with Miss Mary, because the Keystone XL pipeline has been blessed by God, and it's going to be good for South Carolina staying. The amount of stupidity that the for-profit media can inject into, oh my God. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay, yeah, Devin's out thinking outside the box. Devin's out there in front of the issue. 40,000 jobs for what? The cleanup after the spill? That's the best guess. As soon as the new Republican Congress is sworn in next year, Keystone will be back on the agenda, along with efforts to curtail Obamacare, raising the prospect of Obama issuing a series of vetoes. Oh, please. This is political reporting reduced to soap opera. But I mean, there's an element of truth to it. As soon as the Repiglicking Congress comes back in, they'll bring the Keystone XL pipeline back up. And then they'll probably have the numbers to pass it. So doesn't this suggest that since it crosses international borders, and that puts it in the jurisdiction of the State Department, which gives the President of the United States, Barack Obama, the ability to just say no? Wouldn't just say no be the prudent policy right now? I mean, there's no more elections to be afraid of, Mr. President. Just say no. Why wait for, and then veto it and veto it again? Maybe I'm being overly optimistic. Hey, do you think there are enough Democrats in the Senate that maybe they'll do to Mitch McConnell what Mitch McConnell did to the United States of America for the last 6 years? You know, hold up the business of the country? Or will Mitch McConnell simply get rid of the veto the first time the Democrats try to use it? Because, see, Repiglicans know how to be ham-fisted. Hard to say. We are, despite fits and starts, at the halfway point of the program. If you want to get involved in the conversation, I heartily encourage you so to do. The number, of course, 304-663-4676. That's the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N. Meanwhile, on the other line, you can dial in at 304-574-8178. Dial having become a meaningless word for punch in whatever. Anyway. 304-574-8178. Bob Kincaid Horn, Skype to Skype. BobKincaidHorn. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid@gmail.com, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter, and Bob Kincaid on Facebook. I also encourage you, as I often do, to join up with the Head On Radio Network the Horn Facebook group, which you can send a membership request to, and someone will approve it, and bang, right away you will go. So it's entirely up to you, and let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Okie doke, then. In that case, we will take a little break, not because I just didn't want anybody having to wait on hold. We'll take a little break and come back after that, perhaps to your calls. Or maybe to more filibuster.
Amigo. Come on, tell you, my amigo. Halloween in Tijuana, full moon in my eyes. I wonder how in the hell I got here without a disguise. Should I take this last step or turn myself around? Or follow my intuition into that border town? Yo quiero bailar en México. We do the desperation samba con los amigos. Yo quiero bailar en México. We do the desperation samba con los amigos. Pretty girls, they beckon from their rooms above. Skeletons are dancing in the name of love. Don't know where I'm going.
November 18, 2014.
The Keystone XL pipeline really is a win-win.
I call this the XL, the extra lethal pipeline.
U.S. Senate floor fight over the Keystone XL pipeline.
The State Department is the proper venue for reaching this determination.
Can Congress override the president?
The tribe considers last week's House vote on the bill an act of war.
Native Americans vow to fight the pipeline. Plus,
the indictment is in relation to the deadly explosion at Upper Big Branch.
The Dark Lord of Coal, Don Blankenship, finally faces accountability, indicted over the deaths of 29 miners.
All of that accountability and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not qualified to debate the science over climate change.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a scientist.
Yes, everyone who denies man-made climate change has the same stirring message. We don't know what the we're talking about.
Yep. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, some very encouraging accountability news in a moment. I know you're going to get to it. But first, in the U.S. Senate, we've got all of these people who have been telling us for a year that they are not scientists, they know nothing about science or global warming, and now here they are on the floor of the U.S. Senate telling us it's time to build the Keystone XL pipeline, we've got nothing to worry about, it won't hurt the climate at all.
As we go to air, the U.S. Senate is just about to vote on legislation forcing approval of the controversial proposed Keystone XL pipeline from Canada, which is currently on hold, pending a court challenge.
Now is the time for President Obama to make a decision on the Keystone XL pipeline.
Stewardship demands that we not build infrastructure to unlock the tar sands, the dirtiest source of oil on the planet.
This whole thing started with an inexplicable maneuver by Senate Democrats to induce voters in Louisiana to vote for Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu in a runoff election. It looks unlikely at this hour as we go to air that it will reach the 60-vote threshold to defeat a filibuster, and President Obama suggested on his trip to Asia last week that he was going to veto any legislation seeking to short-circuit the process.
Understand what this project is. It is providing the ability of Canada to pump their oil, send it through our land down to the Gulf where it will be sold everywhere else. It doesn't have an impact on U.S. gas prices.
So let me get this straight. Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana is in a runoff, a fight for her life. It looks like she's going to lose. So she's forcing all of the other Democrats in the U.S. Senate to vote for something that Republicans want.
Right.
Democrats are always thinking.
While the president noted that this is not really about jobs, even the CEO of pipeline owner TransCanada also admitted the Keystone XL will create few permanent jobs. CEO Russ Girling conceded as much on ABC's This Week.
And yes, the actual operating jobs are about 50.
Oh, 50 jobs. Totally worth it, Democrats.
Republicans have vowed that they will have more votes on the Keystone XL pipeline next year.
But Obama is likely to veto it. Will the Republicans then have enough votes to override his veto?
You know, it seems unlikely they'd get the 67 votes to overcome a presidential veto, but the Congressional Research Service says that, although this has never been tested before, Congress probably has the legal authority to bypass the executive branch and approve the pipeline using its constitutional authority to regulate international commerce.
They don't need the permission of the president at all?
It doesn't seem so, but again, it's never been tested. However, Native American tribes in South Dakota have vowed they will not allow the pipeline to cross their tribal lands. They're calling the legislation an act of war. In a statement, President Cyril Scott of the Rosebud Sioux tribe said, Congress, quote, has now signed our death warrants and the death warrants of our children and grandchildren. The Rosebud Sioux tribe will not allow this pipeline through our lands.
Do they have the legal right to keep it from going through their lands?
Well, it's part of the treaties that were signed in 1853 and 1861.
Oh, those old things. And if they do stop it, is there a route around their lands?
Possibly, but that would start the whole environmental impact process all over again.
Well, that sounds good.
Meanwhile, accountability for coal.
Hopefully, you know, he'll get exactly what he deserves.
Coal mine boss Don Blankenship, retired CEO of Massey Energy, has been indicted on 4 federal criminal counts over the Upper Big Branch coal mine explosion in West Virginia in 2010 that killed 29 miners, the worst U.S. mining accident in 40 years. Federal prosecutors say the evidence shows Blankenship pushed unsafe practices, put profits over people, and, quote, conspired to commit and cause routine violations of mandatory federal mine safety standards. The mine was cited for over 800 safety violations in just the 2 years prior to the deadly explosion.
Brad Blog's legal analyst Ernie Canning notes that the gag order the judge has placed on the case may still not ensure an impartial jury, particularly as Don Blankenship is a director with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce who can say whatever they want, spend as much as they want, and are not subject to that gag order. We will be following that story in the days and months ahead. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to on this busy day, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Coal is West Virginia.
Oh, Brad Friedman, you really know how to hurt a guy. And that does... No, coal is not... Oh, I hate that. I hate that ad. Let's go straight away to the phones. Is that you, Carol?
It is I.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Titanic Tuesday.
Well, nice to be here now that we're all finally, you know, here.
Well, I know. Sorry.
No, no, no. Spit happens.
In spades and hearts and diamonds and clubs and the, you know, jacks and, yeah. Oh, my sure. God.
Now, I was listening to the Green News Report, and it brought to mind an article that I sent you yesterday about, you know, because they're talking about Don Blankenship and blah, 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 blah. He's, you know, he's facing 31 years in jail, which is laughable considering it's, you know, 29 people are dead, and to me that's mass murder. But there was another case that came to my attention, and they were touting that for the first time ever, a prosecutor is going to go to jail for wrongfully convicting an innocent man in Texas.
That will be a first.
Yeah, this was a prosecutor who became a judge. He made a deal. He pled guilty to criminal contempt. And he had to give up his law license, perform 500 hours of community service, and spend 10 days in jail for wrongly convicting a man of murdering his wife. And the guy spent 25 years in prison.
10 days for that?
He got 10 days. Now, according to a spokesman for the Williamson County, Texas Sheriff's Office, his term was reduced for good behavior from 10 days to 5 days. So, thanks to my calculator mastery...
Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. I just know it.
I can now amend my report that Ken Anderson's 10-day sentence was only 0.1095% of what he gave Michael Morton, and the time served actually amounted to 0.0547 of the almost 9,125 days Michael Morton... spent in prison.
Hold. well, I mean, but in Texas, Carol, that guy could easily have gotten the Texas Medal of Freedom, or Freedom, the Freedom Medal of the Texas Republic, or some such.
He was white.
Oh, well, kind of. I mean, there was that famous case from a few years back where a guy was being tried for his life on murder charges. Mm-hmm. And the appointed defense counsel fell asleep at counsel table, and the ineffective assistance of counsel claim was found to be without merit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Exactly. So his victim, Michael Morton, spent a quarter of a century in some of this country's harshest prisons for a crime he didn't commit. His son... who was in the house when the murder took place, came to hate him and refused to visit him in prison. His son was adopted by his late wife's family and changed his last name because he didn't even want his father's last name. And that relationship is still being repaired. Everything in this man's life was stolen from him. And the guy who did it, already rich, 30 years into the job, so it isn't like giving up his law license, he lost anything. 500 hours of community service and 5 days in jail. But that's justice. And this is what the author is of the story is from a criminal justice group. And he said that this was the first meaningful punishment of any prosecutor anywhere in the country. So I guess it depends on what your meaning of meaningful, your definition of meaningful is.
Right.
Which didn't work for me, but they actually, there's a documentary about this guy. His name, like I said, the guy's name is Michael Morton, and the documentary is on Netflix, and it's something like A Bad Dream or something is the name of the, I'll have to look it up and post it for you. But the guy is like, he is the calmest man on the face of the planet. He is so soft-spoken, and he is so forgiving, and he is so calm about everything. He's now working with the Innocence Project. The Innocence Project took his case.
Right, yeah, out of they're out of Indiana, aren't they?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
Essentially, what happened was there was a bandana found in the backyard, and the defense was never told about it. And then...
Yeah, that's generally found to be grounds for a new trial. I don't know if that accounts. Maybe not in Texas.
Well, No. The law is the law. The prosecutor is required to provide exculpatory evidence to the defense. And once they finally found out that of its existence, the Innocence Project had to fight the Williamson County Prosecutor's Office for 6 years to get DNA testing done. And the DNA testing had the wife's blood on it, and the DNA, the sweat from somebody who was not Michael Morton. And on those grounds, he was released from prison, and they found who the DNA matched.
Nice.
And this guy, if they had tested it for DNA, this guy went on to commit another murder just within a mile of the Morton home. And if they had looked or done anything other than just the husband did it, that woman would have a very good chance of still being alive. But turns out that the son witnessed the murder. He was 3 years old at the time.
Oh God.
And he told the police his daddy didn't do it, and named the guy. He knew who it was and named the guy. And they never revealed it. But so when I hear stories about, you know, Don Blankenship could go to jail, I'm sitting there, you know, hey, the entire criminal justice system, in the first place, it isn't blind. Because that's the only reason I believe this guy didn't get the death penalty.
No, you mean they could see how pale he was?
Exactly. And, you know, I remember years ago, I interviewed a guy by the name of Anthony... God, what was his last name? He was a guy who'd spent like 19 years on death row in Texas, and he was literally within days of being executed when they actually, the Innocence Project got a hold of it, and they actually found the guy who did it, the guy had set a house on fire and killed a mother and five children. And he had been telling...
I remember that, yes.
...the authorities all along. Well, I interviewed this guy along with the head of a group that advocates for abolishing the death penalty. And then I had a professor from a university in South Carolina who basically said that we were all just a bunch of pussies and they should have killed him. And the guy's sitting there on the phone and he's innocent. And the guy's no, they should have killed you. It's just a shame that you spent.
We have a sitting member of the Supreme Court of the United States who says there is no constitutional right not to be illegally executed. When you come right down to the end of it, that's constitutional originalism for you. Fat Tony Scalia thinks that because James Madison didn't write, oh, by the way, if a guy's not guilty, don't kill him, that you don't have a constitutional right not to be killed.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head going, what is wrong with these people?
Well, they want to be able to do whatever they wish to do. And if executing the unjustly convicted is part of that, well, the more the merrier.
Then maybe they should shut up about right to life, about how much they, you know, how sacred life is.
Oh, now see, there you are being all liberal again.
Yes, it's written all over me.
I'll take your word for it.
Queen Vagizilla is here. She's in the room, in the house.
But yeah, I mean, that's constitutional originalism. And yet it's ever so, if you check out Dr. Bill at some point in time, you'll find out that it's nothing but a tissue of hypocrisies. They want the Constitution to say what they imagine it says, and they try to promulgate that by pointing out what it doesn't say.
Oh, dear God, I went through that for 3 hours last night with Cletus T. Gunhumper.
Oh, I saw that.
It was bad. It was so bad. I'm the reason we can't have nice things. I'm everything that's wrong with America. The Jews were responsible for their own deaths because they willingly gave all their guns to Hitler and walked like sheep to the gas chambers.
Oh, yeah, that was the one where I noted that that gun goobers can go from zero to Hitler in an amount of time so small it cannot yet be measured by science.
I absolutely, and of course it got to the point, you can't even take anybody seriously at that point. I was just like, in the first place, some of my relatives were some of those people who went to those gas chambers. And I found that extraordinarily offensive and anti-Semitic. And it's somewhat disturbing to me to think that someone would invoke the Holocaust to justify having Granny having a sidearm strapped to her thigh, you know, her freedom protector strapped to her thigh to go buy a gallon of milk.
Oh, right. But you also have to take into account, Carol, the fact that the Hitler took away everybody's guns is one of their favorite arguments, even though it is absolutely not true. Hitler encouraged gun ownership among the right people.
Exactly.
And this
amazing rewriting of history in order to frame everything within the confines of their maniacal ideology. I mean, the guy sounded like he had swallowed all the NRA propaganda and was projectile vomiting it back up at me as fast as he could.
Well, hold on just a minute, though, Carol, because you said the wholesale rewriting of history.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not. Because the people to whom they are promulgating this didn't know any history in the first place.
Fair enough.
So, consequently, it is just a promulgation of an alternate former reality. It's not a rewritten history. To the people they're giving it to, it is history. So therefore, when Carol Baker wanders in and says, no, it wasn't that way, they all just holler, liberal, commie.
Yeah, and the worst part is that the more they're presented with any form of facts, the more deeply entrenched they become in their psychotic need to hang on to that belief.
And that's the essence.
Seems like everything you believe, you're just quoting bias, you know. And I'm like, it isn't bias. This is as middle of the road as it gets. And so what does he do? He gives me Newsmax and Breitbart.com and GunHumpersAnonymous.com and I'm sitting there going, and you're saying that that's not biased?
No, that's American. That's patriotism.
Oh, you know, and he went the whole, when the headloppers come to America, I'm going to be here to protect you, and you don't even appreciate me. And I was like,
oh, dear God.
And then he told the lie direct from Breitbart that more people a year die from being hit with hammers than they do with guns. And I whipped right out and pulled out the FBI statistics that showed that guns kill more people in this country than every other form of homicide combined.
Yeah.
So then I was just having a childish tantrum, and he just couldn't talk to me anymore.
Oh, did you get banned?
No, he didn't. He didn't block me. He just said that, you know, that I was just such a childish temper tantrum throwing liberal, name calling liberal, because I told him he'd won the fucktard trifecta when he whipped out Hitler. And
well, I mean, that's just an established rule. I mean, Godwin's law is there.
Exactly. So,
but in the realm of guns, because I'm sure you saw what happened in Jerusalem today.
Yes, I did.
You know, just a horror.
It was.
I'm waiting for the NRA to announce that if only everybody in the synagogue had had an AK-47, that wouldn't have happened. Because, see, the NRA has no reverence for anything deemed to be sacred by anybody. You know, we need guns in churches, we need guns in synagogues, we need guns in Sikh temples, we need guns in Jain temples. You know, a Jain won't even step on a bug, but, you know, if only they had guns.
And as a pacifist, it bothers me that the dialogue that's going through my mind is, the next time I see your name, I hope it's in a headline, and with the first sentence including the words "self-inflicted gunshot wound to the temple."
Well, Jesus, it's like that story last night. A little kid in goes to Raleigh, North Carolina, 13 years old, to compete in a soccer tournament.
Shot in his hotel room through the wall. Yeah. I saw that.
And, you know, because freedom.
It's not the first time that's happened. It is not the first time that's happened.
Oh, no, no. No, naturally, we can't have a civil conversation about this because the other side, what? Well, you're just trying to take away my guns. I'm going to shoot you.
And I'm laughing.
After I protected you from the headloppers.
Name a single substantive piece of legislation that's been put forth that's even got past committee.
Well, I mean, they did vote on the background check thing, right?
Gun laws are more lax than they have ever been.
Oh, yeah. I performed a little experiment, and I think I mentioned it briefly. I was over in Beckley, and just because, Agnes and I were tooling around town, and I said, I'm going to pull in here and look at some guns.
Did she do a double? Did her?
Oh, no. I just got the look.
I love that woman.
Don't you go in there and start anything. I said, no, I'm not. I'm just. And so I did. I went in and we fondled guns. And I just talked to the guys behind the counter about the relative stopping power of a 9mm versus a 40 versus a 45. And they said, there's a lot of people out there who want to carry that 45 because that 45, it's kind of legendary that it'll take down anybody. But the fact of the matter is, they've done actual scientific studies about, you know, the stopping power of your 9 versus your 40 versus your 45. And really, they ain't that much difference. And so I was just kind of...
having a little fun with them.
Well, yeah, I wasn't being sarcastic or anything. It was a very serious conversation because they get very serious about it.
Oh, I know.
But I was standing there thinking, wait a minute. Now, if I bring up climate change, science is going to go right out the window when they're sitting here telling me about ballistics. You know, some science is good. That's freedom science. Yes. Whereas your climate science, that's your Kenyan Muslim Islamo-fascist science. But they did, and the guy's sitting there telling me, he says, I don't know if you're looking at one of these for your own carry purposes. Or for maybe your wife. He said, but you know, I got one for my wife and it was, it stayed in the desk drawer. And inside the little voice in my head's going, good place. And he says, but then I got her another one and she said, you know, I just feel better with this one. And she said, I'll probably carry this in my purse. And he said, and I felt a lot better about that because, you know, a concealed carry weapon ain't no good to you if it's in your desk drawer. If she'll carry it, that's what matters. I'm not trying to make light of it because you could hear the passion in the guy's voice. He says, because I love my wife.
And I get that. But I'm sitting here, Bob, going to myself, how did I get through almost 55 years on this planet without having my home broken into, being shot, stabbed, murdered? You're talking to a girl who lived in New York City and in Chicago. I was never even threatened.
But see, but just no, no, no. Ask Wayne LaPierre. He'll tell you it's a different America now.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not. But it is in their fervid, wild, fevered imaginations, because you know there's one of those people around every corner. And I was down to the Rippy Mart the other day, and I heard somebody and it's one of those things where you're just walking into the store and walking out again, and you just tell yourself don't stop, don't engage, don't look them in the eye, but you can't help but hear this stuff. And what I heard was, they want to behave like that, just send them all back to Africa. And that sent me toddling back up the road, thinking all kinds of thoughts. And no, I didn't engage, and I just paid for my crap and got out.
So you're only a patriot if you're a white patriot, but if you're you're one of the blah people, and you have a gun, then you're a terrorist.
Well, it's not just that. Stop and think for a minute. I saw that. That reference in that hateful screed that was on the letter that was sent to the Unitarian congregation in Mountain Home, Arkansas, that Tim shared with us, and it made the reference to Chi-Congo.
Yes.
Okay. But if we are to have a serious discussion about one, crime in America, which is down, and B, who commits crime in America, and the vast majority of crimes are not committed by people of color.
No, they're not.
But if we were to, just for purposes of a thought experiment, give some level of credence to whatever it was that motivated that statement, everything that they're complaining about in conduct is born of the American experience, Carol.
Exactly.
It isn't born of some genetic combination that happened 12 generations ago in Ghana. This is to use Dim Leader's phrase, uniquely American issue. And so that's like saying that one of the Bubbas who goes in and knocks over a convenience store here, well, we just need to ship them all back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Well, there was a reason Scotland got rid of us in the first place.
Yeah.
So,
well, I watch the Twitter feed pretty closely.
Yes.
And the commentary is, if they turn loose that hero, Darren Wilson, be prepared for another N-word chimp out. That's their phrase for looting and rioting.
Oh, God. Pants up, don't loot, that billboard from last night.
The N-word chimp out.
And then there's this headline from the intrepid writer Dana Ford at CNN. What charges could Officer Darren Wilson face in Ferguson? This could be a really short, this could be the shortest one. None.
Negligent.
One word. None. No charges.
That's true. What should he be charged with?
The third paragraph in. The jury is weighing whether to indict one. It's a grand jury. The jury is weighing whether to indict Wilson and has several options from which to choose, ranging from finding no probable cause to charging him with first-degree murder. Its decision could come as early as this week. Who, in light of the fact that Darren Wilson was allowed to testify before this grand jury, who in their right mind thinks that there's any desire whatsoever?
Well, when the prosecutor
to see anything but a no true bill
side, yeah,
right.
There's no way. But they're not realizing that at the point which Brown turns his body and is running in the opposite direction, the imminent danger ends. The imminent threat of bodily injury ends. And every shot after that is just anger. It's just an angry cop. And there's no, you don't get any free passes on the angry cop shots. Those are when it goes to negligent homicide. It's not a murder one case. I doubt it, in all seriousness, if they could even get a murder two. Manslaughter, possibly. Negligent homicide, probably.
I don't see. If you've got, negligent homicide, voluntary manslaughter. Okay, but damn, when you keep shooting, at what point in time does the level of intent rise to at least heat of passion? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I'm just saying, realistically speaking.
Yeah. But neither one of us, if we were A, the gambling type, and B, had a big wad to go and put on a bet, I don't think either one of us would be running down to the parlor and putting $1,000 on man one.
No.
I think if either one of us had any money to put on it, we'd put $1,000 on no true bill.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you know what scares me even more than apparently what the white folks are scared of? I think if any kind of true bill was returned, you would probably have a white riot.
That's true.
And God knows what they would do. This country, I mean, there are histories of what aggrieved white people have done to people of color when things didn't go white folks' way. There was that entire city in Florida, Rose something, I think, that was just burnt to the ground. That was Levy County. Then there's what the white folks did to people of color when white folks rioted over the draft during the Civil War in New York City. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's a long and dirty history of that kind of thing.
Yep. Yep. And then, we all know he's never going to be indicted. So I'm going to switch gears on you because I'm a total nerd and the documentary nerd in me.
Oh, yes.
I saw a documentary the other day about this town, and I'm sure you've heard of it. In Pennsylvania, where the town used to dump all their stuff in a trash pit, and then once a year they'd set it on fire, and after two or three days they'd go put it out.
Yeah.
And like 6 months later, all of a sudden all this smoke is coming up out of the ground, and carbon dioxide is filling people's houses, and some kid in town, there were like these sinkholes that were where all this, you know, hot ash was coming up, and they were like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, Centralia, Pennsylvania.
That's the one. And I was just blown away because it turned out that they had built this trash pit. They were stuffing all this stuff down into old coal mine shafts, and there was enough coal left in them to burn. And no matter how hard they tried to put it out, they figured that the fire had gone far enough through these old mine shafts that there was enough underground fuel for it to burn for 100 years.
Yeah.
And the federal government came and bought them all out, bought their houses, bulldozed the town, and moved the people out. And I'm sitting there going...
And it's been burning since 1962, a year before I was born.
Yeah.
But now here's the ultimate irony. I mean, they've had to move everybody out. The Postal Service, one of the things that I always thought was an interesting little detail out of this, the Postal Service revoked their zip code.
Yeah.
But, you know, there it was a flaw and not a feature. But guess what? The idea of setting fire to coal underground?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's not just a horrible accident based on a lack of foresight, Carol. That's now a coal technology. I kid you not.
Setting shafts on fire with coal in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a coal company from Australia with an operation in Wyoming wants to and has been, at least for the moment, stopped from setting fire to a massive seam of coal underground in order to capture gas that's released from it.
What happens when it burns for 100 years?
More gas! More profit! Because money! I kid you not. I mean, that's for real. And they're doing it in other places on the planet as well. I mean, and that's one of those things, and I so admire the fact that you've started running up the coal learning curve, because I know we talk about Keystone XL, and I'm not trying to set up a competition saying one is worse than the other. And I know that Bill McKibben says that the Keystone XL is game over for the climate. But
yeah,
the numbers for what can be expected from the burning of coal, I mean, for instance, I've talked about the fact that the Germans are trying really hard to get renewable energy right.
Oh, yeah.
And on one day in May of 2012, and I happened to be there, German energy production on May the 29th, 2012, I think it was the 29th, crossed the 50% mark. On May, on that day in May 2012, more than 50% of electricity in Germany was generated by solar panels. But that's one day. The fact of the matter is German energy production from solar is less than the energy production from solar in the United States.
I can't figure out why they don't have huge solar farms out in the middle of the desert where there's nothing there.
Oh, I think the Saudis are probably working on some of those, and we're working on some of those in states that are not completely owned by the denial industry. But the fact of the matter is, the reason I mention that is because after the Fukushima disaster, when Germany just looked up and said, oh, no, okay, we're turning off the nukes, which was the right thing to do, in the interim, they responded by starting to build more coal-fired power plants. So now more mountaintop removal coal is getting on boats and going to places like the Netherlands and Germany. We in Appalachia are and you know, people in other parts of the country as well, you know, southern Illinois, are sacrificing our health and well-being for the sake of German electricity generation. Just like we're sacrificing our health and our well-being and our futures so that some capitalist ass crack from some multinational corporation can run a factory in China making little pieces of Jim crack garbage that they put on boats and send to Walmart.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I just don't view citizens of this country as expendable.
But we are. International Energy Administration, or whatever it's called, say that coal usage, and I'm just being realistic here, coal usage isn't going down. It's going down in the United States, but that's largely because of frack gas, which is no bargain.
No.
Coal energy is going to go up and up, and coal usage is going to go up and up and up and up across the world for the next 40, 50, 60 years. In which case, we might as well just start, you know, carving a few things in stone and burying it. Some basic rules, some commentaries on how we got to where we got to, because we're just setting the table. Oh, it'll take a couple of 100 million years for that sentient race of 6-foot-tall cockroaches to come on board and start doing it all over again. And I think, I personally think that they'll have a statue to the Koch brothers. Because they will revere the Koch brothers as gods because they helped set this planet up for the mess. Because you know how roaches like to live, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're turning the planet into a filth pit that will be a perfect environment for the evolution of that 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches. I know. Yeah. I'm just an absolute little bundle of sunshine, aren't I?
Well, Dr. Buzzkill, thank you. No, it isn't that. It's that I like you. I'm tired, but I can't throw in the towel because you know, you have kids who are going to go on living on this planet long after we're gone, and they're going to have kids, and we want to leave them something other than, you know, burning cities and
Yeah, I got. I mean, it still blows my mind that I may be 51 years old chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the guy in the mirror is still 18, 19, you know, whatever. I got three grandkids, and it still blows my mind. And every time I look at them, I just fall in love with them all over again.
It happens.
And I keep thinking about the world they're going to inherit.
Mm.
And they happen to be children who are in West Virginia, which just makes me want to weep. Because I know that those three, my three little grandchildren, precious as they are, you know, 7, 6, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, the coal industry and the natural gas industry views them as acceptable sacrifices in return for expanded profit.
I don't know.
It's, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I am. I'm a great big honking buzzkill.
No, if I was going to be buried, my headstone would read, "At least she had a soul." But, you know, my motto, I want to be cremated,
mm-hmm.
and I want my ashes blown into the faces of all my enemies.
I think that's beautiful. There's a Robert Frost poem called "The Lesson for Today."
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that poem, and it ends with, "If I am to have something written of me on my stone, say he had a lover's quarrel with the world."
Yeah.
Which I've always thought is just beautiful.
Exactly.
Interesting question coming from Tim in L.A. And Tim, by the way, earlier said, and this is a high compliment, he said, "I love Carol." He said, "I'm skipping dinner right now to hear her speak."
Aww, Tim's son.
Yeah, I mean, you know, multitask, Tim. But, no, I think he's going somewhere. You know, probably taunt us by saying that he's going to In-N-Out Burger or some taco truck on the corner of God knows where in L.A. to, you know, never mind. We'll get into food porn, and then everything will just go straight to hell. Or actually, people will go, "Yay, the food porn." Tim has a question about Darren Wilson.
Yes.
And he says, "When Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown 6 times, doesn't negligence fly out the window when Brown was shot that many times? If, and I am saying if, the shooting was justified, though there were no gun, would not 3 to stop a person suffice? 6 seems like, at a minimum, overkill, and at the extreme, first-degree murder. I mean, 6 times to stop a person using lethal force on an unarmed human? Wouldn't being a cop in fear of an unarmed person be a wrong career choice?"
Well, yes, but Tim, now listen up, sugar. You have to remember, he was a blah person, and he's a big old boy. And, you know, they strong people, and they's big and strong, and they're scary. So 3 bullets, you know, they just can't drop him. Besides that,
I mean, not unless you got your 45. I mean, you don't have the stopping power of a 9mm, and he probably had a 9mm. I mean, your stopping power is relative, but, you know, that's where the 45 comes in handy. See,
relative to how pissed off you are when you're firing.
Oh, by the way, we have a new term for the St. Louis County Grand Jury here, courtesy of Tim.
What is it?
He writes, capital G, grand, paren, dragon, close paren, jury, grand dragon jury.
I like it.
Or, you know, grand dragon, grand Kliegel, exalted noble lumpkin. Yeah, exactly.
I like it a lot. All right, now that I have free associated across the planet with you, I am going to toddle along and let some other kind soul call in and behoove you of your time.
And my sister
Barbie wanted me to tell you hello. She really enjoys the show.
Oh, hi, Barbie. We didn't say hi, Barbie, yet. Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Stay warm. I mean, I'm in solidarity with you down here.
She's buried under snow.
We're not, but it is, we're on our way to 10 tonight.
It's actually going to be warmer here, but it was very cold last night.
And oddly enough, I mean, this is, I can say with certainty, this is a tad unusual for this time of year. It's real unusual to be getting.
It's actually unusual for here too. But it's supposed to warm up. It's supposed to be in the 50s by Saturday.
Yeah, Thanksgiving week is supposed to be considerably better, and this is some sort of freak thing. But I saw a woolly bear the other day. You know, a woolly worm?
I did. I found one, too, when I was out getting firewood.
Well, this one was solid black.
Mine was half black, right down the middle, half black and half brown.
Which end? Well, you know, you'd kind of have to ask a woolly worm, wouldn't you?
I was going to say, kind of personal, isn't it?
But, you know, mine was solid black, and that just means winter starts and winter doesn't end until, like, May.
Tim wants to know what a woolly bear is.
A woolly worm.
We call them woolly bears. Yeah, it's a fuzzy caterpillar, Tim, yeah. And they're black and brown.
And the what?
Depending upon how the color striations are on it, will tell you when you're going to have bitter cold and snow. And if Bob found one that was all black,
I'm screwed.
It's going to be a very long, cold.
Although in about 3, 2, 1, Devin or Lottie or one of the sciencey people is going to send me a note telling me that all woolly worms are a combination of black and brown depending on their life cycle. But that, you know, that takes all the romance out of it. But this particular woolly worm, Carol, I liked him because he was crawling up the garage door of my daughter and son-in-law's garage. And my son-in-law and I immediately, you know, like, suddenly we were six again, both of us, and run up, damn, that's solid black. And all of a sudden, the woolly worm pulls his front part back off where he's crawling, pulls back a little bit, and sort of rotates half of his body around and looks at us like, what are you looking at? Yeah? And?
Bob, the woolly worm I saw was wrapped around an acorn. And I literally lost my shit laughing, thinking, yeah, buddy, if I was you, I'd be hugging my nuts, too.
Oh,
it was cold. It was cold. Oh,
you're good.
God.
You're good. You know, when you're down to hugging one nut, I mean.
Exactly.
You cherish what you got left.
Whereas in Hooterville, they hug all three. So. Hey, it happens. That line breeding thing, it happens.
Uncle Daddy!
Sister, cousin, wife.
See, if we didn't have laughter, we'd be screwed.
See there?
All Buzz better now. All
there
better
you go, love.
Yep.
All right.
Well, Carol, you have a wonderful evening.
You too, my friend. Take care.
All right, and bye now.
Bye.
My God, what can't we talk about on this program? I mean, we've gone from Ferguson, Missouri, we've gone from prosecutorial misconduct to Ferguson, Missouri, to woolly worms. Oh my God. Let's see. So we've got lines open on both lines. The Gizmo line is open. Let me check. We had somebody there, but I think we lost them. Yes. The Gizmo line is open at 304-663-HORN, 663-4676. And, of course, Wow, this is getting to be an awesome evening. Good evening, Angry. Oh, Angry. Hopefully you'll have your audio. Just a minute.
Hello, hello.
Ah, there he is, yes.
Something wasn't plugged in. So.
You threw the third switch.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin, man. The Bureau, the FBI, seems to be worried about Ferguson protests from coast to coast, but they're not concerned about the oldest terrorist organization in United States history, the Klan, passing out leaflets, threatening to use lethal force against peaceful protesters. There's no discussion about this on CNN.
Nope.
There's no discussion about this on MSNBC. There's no discussion about this on CBS. I'm not hearing it on C-SPAN.
Well,
I'm not hearing it anywhere.
To be fair, Chris Hayes did interview the Klan guy.
Oh.
But no, apart from that, I think your thesis is correct.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a contradiction there. If you're talking about the war on terror, then why are you not going after these people?
Well,
who promised terror? You know,
we know the answer to that, don't we?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, a lot of folks don't know this, but the International Convention on the Crime of Genocide and the Punishment for the Crime of Genocide, you know, was written by Raphael Lemkin. This is an international convention. It's supposed to be an international law. The United States is not a full signatory to that law, primarily because the Senate decided that if they had fully ratified the treaty, they'd have to be responsible for going after the Ku Klux Klan and the Black Legion, which were considered to be worse than the Klan back then.
For visible reasons.
You know, so it's, you know, and then you have Anonymous, who just outed I don't know how many of these cracker-headed fools, and, you know, several of them are police officers and corrections officers.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, all anyone has to do is to go on you know, Twitter or whatever and follow the op KKK and Hoods Off tags and find out how many of these people are working in elder care homes, teachers, paramedics.
Judges?
You know, there was mention of that, but I haven't seen anything like that. But I have seen some cops. You know, some other people who have responsible jobs down there. But the person, you know, this is what's being reported by Anonymous. They're saying that the individual who is responsible for putting out that flyer, that KK flyer, is on the Ferguson PD. Now, like I said, this is according to Anonymous's data. And the press hasn't jumped on this at all. They haven't said a word. Nothing.
Well, because they're afraid of Anonymous.
No. It's not that they're afraid of Anonymous. I'm saying they're not saying anything about the fact that Anonymous has uncovered the possibility that there might be more than one police officer.
No. That's why I said what I said, Angry. They are afraid of Anonymous because Anonymous is actually doing the job that a viable Fourth Estate media would otherwise be doing.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean.
Because, you know, instead of posting 1,000-word essays on Kim Kardashian's ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of guilty of that myself too. But you know, it's been a long time since I've done anything dealing with direct action. But I have to give Anonymous credit for this. I really do. It was the same thing. I gave them credit when they had outed all it was. But they sent to the authorities internationally. They sent to Interpol. They sent to everybody. They said, hey, these are the servers. These are the fuckers that are doing this. Here's their IP address. We know whatever. And I believe that there was something, you know, kind of because they were embarrassed in Europe that was done about this. But the point was, and I wasn't the only person to say this. Why is it that they were able to do this instead of, you know, tapping everybody's computer with that excuse? Go after the servers that are actually peddling this nonsense and get them. Put a stop to it. It's the same thing I say about drugs. If you really wanted to put a stop to this goddamn shit, you put a fucking stop to it. You know, the war on drugs. The war on drugs is just that. It's talk. The war on terror, and then I'm looking at what they're doing here with Ferguson. The KKK is a terror organization. Why is there any discussion about this? The Anti-Klan Act was enacted because of what? To do what? Because they were doing what to whom? You know, they were tearing apart the South. They were going after white people. And I'm going to say this because it was true. They were going after Republicans that were standing against them at the time. Radical Republicans, right? Where are those radical Republicans today?
Well, I mean, they don't exist. But
I keep hearing about them. You know, they keep telling me about Mia Love. I've been hearing about her and Tom Cotton here for the past week.
Where are they? We had the Klan showing their face in Ferguson. They want to take everything back for 2016. Here's their chance. You want black voters? Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Stand up against the goddamn Klan. Point out the fact that there's probably law enforcement on the local Klan. Do something about it. Instead of to say, oh, you know, the Democrats, you know, created the Klan. Well, then, hey, do something about the Klan then. And I suppose you can do all the damage to the Democratic Party that you're talking about. But they're full of it. And they've always been full of it. And you know, it really, you know, annoys me that we're allowing ourselves to be pushed around by these freaks. And then here it is, we have Mike Huckabee. It turns out that according to the ArkansasTimes.com, he's now running around in Europe. I don't know why he's in Europe. He's trying to act presidential, I suppose. But he's right. Running over there with Floyd Brown. Floyd Brown is the one who came up with Willie Horton ad.
Right.
During the Bush Dukakis fiasco, right? He co-founded Citizens United, which I didn't know until about an hour ago. And he was working to defend Clarence Thomas when he got into his thing. You know, and I'm reading here that he stalked the family of a suicide victim in an attempt to dig up dirt on Bill Clinton.
Oh yeah, it's the same old gang. They haven't gone away, and frankly, they're just right now they're just honing their chops for Hillary.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot of things they can't say about her, but she's one of them. So I don't know what the hell they can possibly do. She was a lawyer for Walmart.
Oh.
She made sure that those wages were low.
Yeah, exactly. But she is also, female. And these
yeah,
things
that's all they can
these
say.
these things break along ideological lines. And I'll put it this way. You've heard it said, of course, that Bill Clinton and you've heard it said of Barack Obama that they're among the best moderate Republican presidents this country has had.
Yeah, of course.
Hillary would be out of that same mold as well.
Uh-huh, sure.
But moderate Republicans, Angry, are not sufficient anymore within the Republican Party as it is presently constituted. I have said, and I've said it, you've heard me say it, that the Republican Party, as it presently exists, is engaged in an open, insurgent rebellion against the very idea of government as manifested by the Constitution. And as such, someone who would come in and be a moderate Republican president, like a Hillary, like Bill Clinton, like Barack Obama, they're not going to be sufficient, because the Republican Party, as it's presently constituted, must attack all forms of moderation because they are radical Republicans. They're just radical in a different way. They're radical in a further rightward direction. It used to be, when we talked about radical Republicans, even though, that phrase comes out of the Civil War era, had the terms been in common usage at the time, that would have been a radical leftward Republican Party. Well, that's all gone.
That's all gone.
And so, whether it be Mia Love or Tim Scott in South Carolina, those folks aren't radical. You can't gauge allegiance to an insurgency by skin tone. Now the Republicans are happy because look, we have some of those people. It reminds me of the time a few years ago I walked back into my home church in Alabama and was told, we have some of those people in our church now. I'm like, wow, okay, we're all done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be interested to see the response. I'm not sure when it comes out. I'll be interested to see how it's played too. I saw the trailer the other day for the film version, or the film that's coming out called Selma. Have you followed any of this?
Nope.
It appears to be coming from. I mean, anytime I see the word Harpo.
If it's an Oprah Winfrey vehicle, then forget it. The butler set us free. Nah, forget it.
No. The butler walks across the bridge. I mean, is that what this is going to be?
No, the butler walks on the water. You know, that's her idea of. I couldn't even sit through the whole film, but somebody who told me, yeah, there's this scene, man, where the son's a radical, which you kind of knew that was going to happen, and she shows up at a Klan office. See, you got the Klan on the mind, right? No, at a Black Panther Party for Self-Defense office where he's, doing some hours. And basically chastises him in front of these other Panthers and everybody else that's there, saying that, you know, you're calling your father and Uncle Tom. He's the only one, he's the reason you're able to do what you're doing right now. And it's like, what? You know, this was allowed to go. So I can only imagine what the hell Selma's going to look like after she's through with it.
Well, I'd be curious. Look up the trailer and give me your impression when you get a chance. But my point, though, Angry, is that no matter how mildly it's portrayed, it's going to be, you're going to hear it coming from the radical insurgent right wing, which is the dominant part of the Republican Party now, that this is a call to a race war in America. You know, we're past them days. We need to let the past bury its dead. There ain't no racism in America no more.
Yeah, well, tell that to the cat that was waving that Confederate flag at Mia Love's speech. And go to Newsweek.com and look at the photo. It's a Getty AP photo now, you know, waving the Confederate flag, and she didn't say a goddamn word about it, you know. But, and she's getting Klan material sent to her house now. And she's still not talking about it, really, other than to say that she's concerned, you know.
Well, no, because one of her, that material may be coming from the offices of one of her future colleagues in the House.
Mm-hmm. More than likely, yeah.
I mean, that's, you're familiar with the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right? You know how it turns out that everybody... that everybody's in the Klan, you know, when the hoods come off.
Yeah.
Including, you know.
There's several films like that, but yeah.
If Anonymous is going to do a real service, then how about going and finding the Klan affiliations of what are probably any number of Republicans in say the House or the Senate, or I'll go one more. I mean, I think Anonymous is doing good work. We know for a fact, for instance, and this is public record, that, and I'm sort of moving laterally on this, so just work with me here, Angry, and bear with me. We know for a fact, and yesterday was Jim Inhofe's birthday. Jim Inhofe has been in the past the recipient of a $2,600 contribution from one Don Blankenship.
Oh, you mean the cat that's just recently in the news now, kind of looking sad and sorry for himself?
Yeah, the guy whose policies and work demands led to the incineration of 29 human beings, that Don Blankenship.
Yeah, that Don Blankenship.
Yeah, he gave $2,600 to Jim Inhofe. And I'm sure he's given money to Mitch McConnell. I know he gave money to Joe Manchin. He's given money to Shelley Moore Capito. Wouldn't it be fun to just compile a list of all the people that this guy who is indicted presently for having put in place schemes and fraudulent practices that led to the incineration of 29 human beings beyond recognition as human beings? Wouldn't it be nice to just come up with a sort of rogues gallery? And Lord knows if Anonymous went, oh my God, can you imagine if Anonymous went rooting around inside Don Blankenship's computers?
If you raise enough hell, they just might.
I don't have the Anonymous bat signal. You know, I don't know how to reach it. I don't either.
And yeah. You know, I don't think anybody should. You know, I don't. You know, I don't approve of hacking. I really don't. But the thing about them, if they can stay disciplined, this can actually be somewhat liberating because. What they said to the Klan in that message, you know, at first I thought it was actually contradictory. Then I had to really think about it. They said, look, we support free speech to the point where we're not against you. And we don't give a damn about what your message is. The point is that you started threatening black people and the people that support the folks who are standing up to you, which would include us. So they're like, you know, for that reason alone, we're coming.
Right, and you know what? They have a better, more nuanced understanding of free speech than some judges do, Angry, because you know, everybody says, well, I got free speech rights under the First Amendment, but the fact is, you don't. You don't have the freedom of speech as guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution and extended by the 14th Amendment to the states is not the right to say anything, anytime, anywhere, and expect there to be no consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, common sense would say that, but, you know, for some reason, and it's not just here, this is anywhere. You know, people can be crummy given the social circumstances anywhere on the globe. But, you know, the thing is here, folks like to push things, trolls. I have free speech. So I can take whatever photographs of you and make up whatever cartoons and call you all kinds of names and ruin your life and have your Facebook totally embarrass you at work and embarrass your entire family because I have free speech. Well, you know, yeah, common sense would say you don't do things like that. See, but there are idiots out here that will do that. And you have people who actually are committing suicide. And you have people that are being, you know, bad-jacketed who are not criminals, who are not the people that are supposed to be attacked and whatever. And I believe Anonymous actually did target the wrong person at one point, or at least this person claims. And I can't even remember what the subject was. But yeah, I mean, if they got pissed enough because there was enough data flying around in the news currents about, you know, Blankenship and mining in general, and people should pay attention to mining because not so much that it's a dangerous job and that we get a lot of our energy from these people. It's just, there's a lot of factors that are just wrong. And the more the public understands about it, the more that we can defend the people that actually do this work. And Blankenship, I mean, if they went after him, hey, you know, I mean, I wouldn't lose any sleep. But the thing is, where would you stop? You know, I mean, does him... There's the Koch brothers. Where would you end?
You know, well, I mean, they're operating right now within bounds that I would argue are actually journalistic. They're doing investigative journalism.
In a way, but they're actually kind of just, you know, digging up the dirt. They're not actually collating it and putting it out there and saying, okay, but this, that, and the other. Unless they are, and I'm just not aware.
Well, no, I think they are angry because, for instance, I'm looking at a photo right now of a guy wearing his Supreme Kleagle robes. There's three guys with red arrows pointing to them in the photograph. And then there's a photo next to them. And lo and behold, the three guys from the robes are three guys who are standing at a Support Darren Wilson rally. Now,
yeah, and they removed that from the Facebook site on the Darren Wilson support thing. People have been deleting their Facebook and Twitter accounts all ever since this started.
Oh, no. But what I was going to point out here is that these God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding members of the Klan are standing at a rally with their two little children in front of them. And yeah, the people who published this photo of the Klansmen and then the photo of the Klansmen not in their robes, well, they have blacked out the children's faces. That is a manifestation of integrity, Angry. That's not throwing stuff out there and devil take the hindmost.
Well, yeah, but again, you have to always be aware of that 10% that doesn't play by the rules because they don't give a damn about the rules. So, you know, while Anonymous is playing by some common sense, egalitarian, you know, anarchist, rules, an idea that, you know, not so much no rules, but not rulers, you know, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, they're being as adequate or as direct and as ethical, I suppose, as you can be about it. But when you talk about free speech, it's always going to be an issue, though. Look at Professor Noam Chomsky. Now, there are still people who hate him.
Sure.
You know, not necessarily Jews, but a lot of people who hate him for his defense of Robert Floyson, the Nazi. And it wasn't really a defense. It was really a defense of his right to free speech. This individual, for anyone who isn't aware of him, is a Holocaust denier, if he's even still around. Like David Irving and Zundel and a bunch of other jerks like that. They run around the world basically trying to prove that Hitler was a good guy, that had war thrust upon him, that really didn't hate Jews. And, you know, I mean, you know, they just twist history, you know, into a pretzel three times over. But he wrote a very brief commentary saying that, you know, if you stop him, then you can stop Arabs who want to discuss Algeria and what the French did there or what happened in Vietnam or Indochina, which now under French law, because of Sarkozy, it is illegal to say anything negative, to teach anything negative, to produce a literary work or a film that says anything negative about French colonialism.
Right, sure. I think though, but in the larger discussion, angry of free speech, I come back to my thesis that most people don't understand what it means, and we always go to that old chestnut of you can't yell fire in a crowded theater and rely on free speech.
Well, that's the Cartesian common sense idea. You wouldn't do anything if you had enough, you know. A lot of people like to say compassion, but just common sense. If I do this, the possible reactions are thus, and it's going to affect other people, so that's a negative. I shouldn't do it. You know, at least that's the Buddhist way of looking at it. If you know that your action is going to cause a negative reaction, it's a bad action, period.
Right, but there are people who would do it just to watch the chaos ensue.
Well, like I said, there's that 10%.
Right. But, I mean, but it extends, and this is something I actually think, and see, by saying this, I mark myself out as some sort of probably Islamo-Muslim fascist heretic communist. I think there is a broader and larger discussion to be had publicly about the meanings of free speech. Because when right wing radio talkers like Glenn Beck nearly create a massacre at the Tides Foundation. When Michael Savage, Bernard Goldberg, Hannity, and O'Reilly directly incite a man to go into a church and shoot it up, a Unitarian congregation that happened several years ago, then I think there's a bright line to be drawn, and being able to hide, sit back and say, well, I had no idea my words would make a crazy man do something.
Yeah, but you just heard from Glenn Beck. I mean, he just finished saying that he's got some very strange chiropractic neurological disorder that can only be treated through crystal balls and branch water or something. And then he turns around and says that revolutionaries are going to pull you out of your vehicle and they're going to do you on his radio show. But he just finished saying, because of his illness, that he's been acting kind of crazy and bizarre the past few years and making the suggestion that you can't hold it against me when I rally and say that I'm a Jew and I stand up for Israel or that, you know, MLK.
That's the thing I don't understand coming out of this Glenn Beck business is he says he's been acting crazy, but I get the idea he's not saying that that's something he's been acting on his radio show. Or his TV programs. You know, this is stuff that's been happening in his private life. His personal life is falling apart. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that, you know, there's a divorce in the offing or maybe a charge that, you know, he's gone all Adrian Peterson on his kids and beaten one of his kids' scrotum with a tree limb or something.
You know, frankly, I think Glenn Beck is really the type, honestly, he will hurt himself before he would actually do anything to anybody else.
Well, that's his family history.
Oh, it you know, I've heard something about that. I knew he used to snort coke, but so did W.
No. He has family members who have committed suicide.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not a psychiatrist, but I did take a couple of classes. Really? Well, that's just from watching his show and listening to him over the years. Well, then, hey. Well, what do you know? You know, I'm actually have a gift maybe that I didn't know that I had. Yeah, well, like I said, he's not the type to go out and do anything, but he'll talk you into it. You
right.
Know.
And see, I mean, I remember when, because I'm of an age, I remember when, Judas Priest was sued.
I made around that time. Yeah.
Yeah, that some kid committed and I don't mean to minimize it, but a teenager.
So was Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne too, committed suicide, and the band was blamed for that. Okay.
But what was going on at that time though?
Well, but not just that, but the argument was made back then. Angry. You know, there's no way that you can hold a band responsible for the way an individual responds to its lyrics. And I think in the case of Ozzy, the song was what? Suicide Solution?
Yeah.
But that song was not saying everybody go commit suicide. It was a song about one person contemplating suicide. On the other hand, however, you have these hate talkers who use the same defense. Well, that guy was crazy. when in fact they're talking to millions of people every day and telling them in not even coded language to go and engage in violence.
Yeah, but he is the 2 minutes of hate. He's one of them. He's one of them. He's a court jester, and we all know that. And he's one of them. But, you know, the thing about it is he doesn't come out of a vacuum. And this is why I was going to say what was going on doing all that that nonsense with heavy metal. I mean, you know, whether you like it, hate it, I mean, it's pretty much done for unless you're, you know, still really into that. But for the most part, at that same time period, because I've written about this, at that same time period, you had the satanic scare in the United States.
Oh yeah, and before that, I remember, what was it, 60 Minutes or ABC or somebody, you know, punk rock in America. Your children will put safety pins through their face tomorrow.
Well, yeah, well, there was that, but that was kind of, punk was pretty much dead by the time they did that. The next time they did that on the East Coast, when I was in Philly, they were talking about a band called Missing Foundations, which was really like three or four guys who just put up a lot of graffiti. And I believe that they knew that it was nothing. And, you know, somebody was just doing it all over Philly. And they just went berserk. And it turned out it was nothing. And it's the same thing with the Satanic Panic. There were supposedly children missing. Nobody was missing. There was nobody missing. I mean, yeah, there were children missing, but for the usual, you know.
Yeah, and this is long before, and this is in an era long before the internet.
Yeah, the internet hadn't even happened yet, and it would have been worse, probably, if it had at that time. But there was a case in New York City about, I can't remember, they were a Jewish family, but there were these allegations, and it was all over the press. I mean, it was everywhere. And then there was talk about a lion, and then there was talk about this satanic coven. And that they were, you know, abused people. Then Ted Gunderson, one of these far-right, I believe he's passed now, but he's one of these far-right people that went on the Lester Circuit. He was on the Donahue Show. He was on the Geraldo Show. They did a special about satanic America and what have you. And he used to be the chief of the Chicago FBI at one point, right? The office chief. Office head. And, you know, he was part of the Liberty Lobby and that kind of thing. And, you know, he was part of giving it legitimacy. And there were police officers that were making whole new careers now, giving tours, speaking engagements, talking to this group, to that group about the satanic, you know, this, that, and the other. And there were several writers at the time. I can't remember their names right now, but one wrote a book called Satan Wants You. It's excellent. That it really gets into this, where he asked this police officer directly, what evidence do you have of a satanic group in Oklahoma or wherever the hell it was? Because most of this was happening in the Bible Belt, if you remember. It wasn't really L.A.
No.
It wasn't Dallas, whatever, right? It wasn't these big cities. It was in, you know, these small towns. And what it was is that these were kids that were listening to heavy metal. They were cutting themselves up. They were taking meth. And they had skulls and all of the paraphernalia, and I guess there was some pedophiles that took advantage of a lot of this and owned stores that sold this crap all of. And that's how they were making these contacts. I mean, there were some freaky situations that were being connected to all of this. But it really wasn't satanic. These were just abusive bastards like John Gacy that were running around. And, you know, I mean, there was tons of these people, Henry Lee Lucas, you know, tons of these folks, but Christians took the ass. This is God not giving his protection to America.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because they're all. Yeah, because fundamentalist religion industry, evangelical Christianity in America is always on the lookout for the next hustle. A generation before, they were burning Beatles records. 15 years before that, they were trashing Elvis records. Because, you know, the nature of that gig is that it's always somebody else's fault. When in point of fact, it is the nature of youth to rebel against the authority structure from time immemorial. I mean, I can just well imagine, Og and Morblot, looking at their child and saying, "There's no good going to come of you going back in that cave and painting horses on the walls."
Be careful, man. Eric Prince might hear you and get mad. Sitting in Dubai in the air conditioning. He loves America so much, but he doesn't live here. He doesn't pay taxes here. He lives in Dubai.
Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I mean, if Blackwater wants to do something, because they was perfectly okay, because you always hear about these Republicans talk about, oh, there's going to be another gun grab. Every month I keep hearing this. And I'm like, I'm still waiting for this goddamn thing. The second term is almost over. Whose guns has he taken?
Well, like I was talking with Carol about my little foray into the gun store. There was not room for another firearm on their shelves behind the counter or in the display case of the counter, and that counter space, Angry, was a good 60 feet long. I mean, there were wheel guns, there were semi-autos, there were little tiny 380s and little itty-bitty 22s that had fit in the palm of your hand. And there were, you know, the big old hunting rifles all the way from, you know, a 300 mag down to a little 22 tin can plinker. Apparently if there's a gun grab going on, it hasn't found Beckley yet.
No, but they showed, you know, during the Katrina crisis, they took guns from the black people down there.
Sure.
You know, and no, I didn't hear one Republican say a goddamn word about this. They still don't talk about this. And Democracy Now! Reported they had on film. Because these jerks will film themselves and put it on YouTube saying, oh, yeah, I got my wings, that he has shot a black man the night before. Because, you know, there was a spate of killings. Oh, yeah. And, you know, very few of them were investigated. And then you had a bunch of cops that burned a group of people on the Danziger Bridge that they attacked. Tried to burn the evidence. You know, they had their sentences reduced not too long ago. This is justice in the United States, and they're angry because, you know, some people are holding up placards saying, I'm a human being, I pay taxes like you do, my son is serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, right? You know, my daughter works for government, and I paid my dues, and you're telling me I don't deserve the same constitutional rights that you do? That I'm a terrorist because I'm standing up for my rights as a human being, a right that I have.
Because we're running out of time, Angry, but let's remember, when we're talking about people protesting in Ferguson, there is not an iota of evidence that anybody who is prepared to protest a no-true bill against Darren Wilson, there's not an iota of evidence that any of those protesters want to shoot anybody, burn anything, put a brick through anything. They simply want to engage in the petition for redress of grievances that is guaranteed under the First Amendment to the United States. And this, in turn, has engendered a homicidal rage on the part of lots and lots and lots of white folks.
Yeah, but what's more scary is the fact that everybody's talking about nigger trouble, but the idea that the Klan is making open threats. They've been making open threats on YouTube for the better part of a year. Barcroft TV from the UK filmed them talking about they're recruiting as many military people as possible. You have a Marine sniper unit using an SS flag, and nobody really said any goddamn thing. You have neo-Nazi graffiti popping up in Iraq and Afghanistan. People are showing this. No talk. Nothing. And here it is, the authorities are worried about the black protesters, worried about their white supporters, but they're not worried about the KKK. And here's the funny thing. If they were so worried about gang violence, they're so worried about, I'm not even going to name anybody. You know who you are if you even listen to anything like this. All this talk about riding for your brothers and this, that, and the other, you don't take no shit and blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the Klan popping shit in Ferguson right now. I don't hear nothing. You could go down there and protect the black population, protect the protesters, but see, it's just a lot of talk. That's why I don't want to hear anything from these rappers. I don't want to hear anything from a lot of these protesters. I don't want to hear anything from all these tough guys. Here's the Klan running their mouth, threatening people. The authorities can't do anything. The tough guys can't do anything. The GOP can't do anything. The Democratic Party, it looks weak because they're not saying anything either. There's not one politician standing up and saying, what the hell are we allowing here to brew in Ferguson, Missouri, while the UN is looking at this case. The parents of Michael Brown just got back from Geneva. They went to the United Nations. How much longer are they going to continue to play this? And then all this is under a black president. So if they're freaking out like this over Obama, what's going to happen when Hillary runs? So, you know, nah.
No, game on.
You know, they're going to take it back. A white male has to be up there to represent the system. or, you know, there's going to be complete chaos here. And I told people this. It's going to get worse before it gets any better. If he doesn't address racism, not hate white people, if he doesn't address racism and really deal with the history about it and make an effort to stem these fools before they get any grounding, this is going to be bad. And because he didn't do that, and because the rest of the Democratic Party was so scared of the goddamn Republicans in the Tea Party, who are not constitutionalists, they're just a bunch of fucking thugs. They want to be black shirts, and they don't have the goddamn understanding of how to even do that right. You know, they don't know how to do it. They want to, but they don't know how to do it. They just figured to wave a gun around, that'd to scare every black person, every Spanish-speaking immigrant and what have you, and they'll have some kind of order. They want to be feared when they go down the street. They want it known. I'm white. I'm in charge. This is my country. That's what all of this is about. And if you're white, let me tell you something, my white brothers and sisters. If you're white and you don't go along with this program, they're going to hate you too. So you can stand on the sideline as long as you want to. But you're taking a risk, because if once they're done with us, what the hell do you think they're going to do with you if you don't want to go along with what they want?
And that's, you know, that, and one of the little indicators of that angry is the voter suppression laws that have been passed all over this country, because yes. They're broadening out from the traditional demographic that right-wingers like to keep from voting, and now it's not so much wrong-colored but wrong-minded.
Yeah, but we got a catch-22. You got nobody to vote for, and then they don't let you vote.
See how it works?
You take care, my brother.
All right, you have a good evening, Angry. Take care.
And hey, everybody, if you can send a dime to this show, please do what you can to keep Bob on the air.
Much appreciated, because not a dime has come in this evening, Angry. Thank you. Bye now. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. Yeah, no kidding. We had a $100 matching challenge on the table for this evening, and absolutely no responses to it whatsoever. Maybe that's because people didn't hear it, because maybe we were having server troubles at that point in time. But Steve was offering his one to grow on $100 challenge this evening, and no takers. So much for being out in front of anything. Thanks, everybody, for all of your participation this evening. It means so much that you share your time here. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.